Hi, I'm Vaya Skinner, coordinator for campus communications, and welcome to HCC 360. Did you know that Harford Community College has a system for students that are looking for more academic challenges? The Honors Program goes beyond the standard curriculum to provide another level of learning and accomplishment. WHFC student intern Mohammed Bangora sat down with Dean Tony Wohlers and Professor Chris Jones to learn more about the Honors Program at HCC. Let's get into it.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Welcome. All right. Thank you for asking.
Thanks for coming in to HCC 360. I'm with Tony Wohlers, the Dean of Behavioral Sciences, and Chris Jones, Professor of Math and STEM. How are you guys doing today?
Lovely.
Outstanding.
That's great.
Or at least we're good liars. One of the two.
All right. So who could tell me a little bit about themselves first?
Just about in general ourselves?
Yeah, just general.
Oh, okay. I've been here the Dean since of Behavior and Social Sciences since 2017. Actually, it was August 7, I remember distinctively, the first day at this campus here. A wonderful day. I've been Dean since then. Has been a wonderful journey so far because I had the privilege, the honor, speaking of honors program, working with wonderful colleagues, to advance certain initiatives across the college, including, of course, the Honors Program. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so proud and privileged working with Chris Jones here.
And Chris.
I don't know how to follow that up, but I'm going to try. I've actually been at the college in one capacity or another since 2002. So, yeah, right. So I'm over 20 years here. And I started in the Learning Center, actually. It was one of my first jobs. And they were desperate enough to hire somebody as an adjunct for math. And so while I was getting my graduate degree in mathematics, I started out teaching some of the lower level math classes, et cetera. And when a full-time position opened, I applied. And the college was smart enough to hire me. So I've been teaching full-time since 2006. And I've been teaching the Honors Statistics course since probably like 2006, 7, 8, sometime in that nature. Mm-hmm. And I've served as the coordinator in one capacity or another since about 2014 for honors. So outside of that, I like doing skiing a lot. It's getting close to ski season. Mm-hmm. So I like falling better than skiing. But I also like playing softball in the summer and all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Since y'all both did like regular teaching before you did the Honor Society, how do you feel like the difference is between, teaching like a regular math class or... What was the transition from doing like the regular courses to the Honor Society courses? Was it more responsibility, and did you feel more pressure to teach it, or just coordinate in it?
I wouldn't say there was any more pressure or anything of that nature. I do have to be more on my toes when I teach an honors course because our students are very curious. They have a lot of good in-depth questions. And certainly when I teach a general section, I do get a lot of good questions. But I just have to be poised and ready for those sorts of questions because they're more apt to asking those.
Right.
With respect to time, like input of time, we do a lot of research, especially in my statistics course. We do some research papers, we do presentations, and I do try to meet one-on-one with our students a lot to make sure that they're on the right path. In a general course, we might have 20, 25 students in that class. It gets a little bit tougher sometimes to meet individually with the students. So, that being said, the students bring a lot to the table as well. And so it doesn't make it feel like a lot of times that I'm working harder. In fact, sometimes the students will answer the questions for me because there'll be a student, somebody asks a question, a student will immediately raise their hand and really want to answer that question just to floss how smart they are, which we already know how smart they are.
What about you? What kind of differences have you seen?
I have taught honors classes before I came to Harford Community College. Because of my previous institution, we also had an honors program, and I was the director of it at that point. But I always made it a point, to also teach in the honors program. So I had a couple of classes, actually one I taught here not too long ago, the leadership class, which was an excellent class, of course, from my perspective at least. And I taught some other honors intro courses basically too. And as Chris said, the students make all the difference in these classes. They're they're so engaged to begin with, right? They're so motivated. They're also very committed mm-hmm. to success mm-hmm. already, right? And on top of that, they also tend to be very curious. So, you know, they ask really, really good questions. And as Chris said, that keeps us on our toes too, you know, mm-hmm. because you have to really be thinking quickly with them. And, you know, sometimes they ask questions you don't have the answer, mm-hmm. right? That is fine. You just tell them, yep, I will get back to you. But, you know, you really have these very good and profound discussions with the students, right? Because they already see their path towards success, in a sense, where they want to go, right? And they walk that path from the very beginning as they're sitting in those classes. Often you have these discussions because it's more like a seminar often mm-hmm. too, right? And then you sprinkle it with research projects or other projects they can pursue, which will then allow them to pursue their academic and ultimately also their professional goals, right? Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to say is because they often have their goals already in mind, they kind of know in a sense what they are supposed to do in the classroom, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a kind of a change for me, right? Because I taught a lot of American government classes and some other intro courses, some general courses basically, and you didn't get it there, right? You had a few students, right? Mm. But in general, you did not have this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, like they don't have like the same drive as like, I don't know, like somebody, because you have to work to get to honors, you know what I'm saying? And it's almost like, I feel like some students, well, probably most of them, the way she was talking was like, you have to like earn your spot there. I got to show that I know this stuff too. I'm meant to be here, you know? It's kind of like the same way for like general, but it's not the same extent. Like, I guess like our last interview was you doing general studies. It's like moving me throughout, like, I don't really know what I want to do. I want to do and try like everything. But no, if I'm in honors math, I'm really good at math. Let me show that I'm good at math, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the same time, to piggyback on that, you know, many students, they know exactly what they want, right? True. Some students are also there, you know, because they need that confidence, mm-hmm. you know, that need that boost. And that's why that honors program is really great, to kind of allow the students to see how good they are with certain skills. They might not realize it mm-hmm. yet, right? But the honors program can really bring this out and then set them on this course of success.
One thing I wanted to add was that a lot of times we do have a lot of excellent students that are very book smart in our general classes, mm-hmm. but they don't want to take the honors courses because they are more work sometimes. And they do challenge the students. And so those students might just hang back and they populate our general classes and they do very well on examinations and other sorts of things. But sometimes they don't share those gifts. And that's one of the great things about the honors courses is that we have students that have high emotional intelligence that really understand that by sharing your gifts with the students in the class, it elevates the entire class. Maybe you're a really good speaker mm-hmm. and you let the other students know, here's some tips and tricks mm-hmm. to be a better, more effective speaker. Or maybe somebody's a better critical thinker or problem solver and they try to help out other students in those classes. So I think there's something to really be said for that sense of community within an honors course that sometimes you just don't get in a general course because people kind of hang back or they have that C's get degrees mentality.
Right.
Or they just have so much other stuff going on for general students mm-hmm. too that they might be able to commit to an honors course as well.
So I mean, like, yeah, you're on that path, you know. A lot of the students, they know what they want to do, but mm-hmm. still being in that class will take you above and beyond into what you already know and teach you a lot of things that you don't.
Yeah, it kind of really creates this motivating environment mm-hmm. for everyone, in a sense. You know, that's really one important goal of the honors program, too.
How do people qualify for the honors program?
So there's two ways a student can get into the honors program. Actually, there's a number of ways. So mm-hmm. if a student has a 3.2 or higher GPA from high school, they can automatically qualify for the honors program. All they have to do is just fill out an application on our website, or they can email me, mm-hmm. And then I review a transcript, and then we get them into the honors program. If they have a 3.2 GPA or better at Harvard and 9 credits, we can admit them into the honors program as well. They'd fill out the same form. Sometimes we get students that are recommended to us by a faculty member or a staff member. And they're emerging students, if you would. So they might have like a 3.0 GPA, but maybe they got like a couple C's in classes that they had to take. Okay, mm-hmm. So for instance, I know a lot of times when I was an undergraduate, I had to take anthropology. And now I'm actually very thankful that I did. Mm-hmm. At the time, I might not have been too thankful for it, but I'm glad for that well-roundedness. But those courses might drag down a very good student's GPA. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that those students have opportunity for them to join into the honors program and share their talents. So mm-hmm. So if a student's on that emerging sort of threshold between a 3.0 and a 3.19, what we'll do is we'll admit them as emerging students as well, and they can just email me and I can get them into the honors program that way too. And then as they progress with their GPA, then we fully admit them into the honors program. So we don't want to penalize good students that are still working their way up. We want to reward students that are on the right track. They might just have had a bad class or two, and that just happens all the time.
The way that it's set up, so if you're in the honors program, do you have to take all the honors classes for like those subjects? Because I was like, I know that for at least for my degree, because I'm information systems, you got to take like a math and English, a couple social sciences, and then you take like the stuff for your degree. I don't know if any information systems classes are honors classes, but would I have to take like honors math, honors English, or do I just get to pick because I am in the honors?
You can pick. Okay. So we've built in flexibility, right? As far as the classes you can take. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the classes we offer basically all general education mm-hmm. classes, right? So the introductory courses like math, biology, psychology, sociology, and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. But what you should do, of course, you should put that within the context of your major.
Your major, yeah.
Right? To kind of make sure that the classes you want to take in the honors program we offer, and we offer a series of honors classes every semester, right? So we have enough choices for students to take honors classes, and then all you have to do is you have to get 9 credits at this point of honors classes, or i.e. free mm-hmm. classes, mm-hmm. right? And once you have accomplished that, then you're graduating from the honors program.
That's about 3-4 classes, right? That's not too bad.
Right, and there are some scholarships and benefits that come along with it, but that might be another question down the road. Do you want to add something?
No, perfectly stated, sir.
Mm-hmm. What's a typical honors level course like? Let's say if I wanted to take like honors math, what kind of mindset should I be in expecting to go into that?
It's a really good question, because one question I get frequently is, what's the difference between a general class and an honors class? The way I think about it is an honors course is just different, but it's not necessarily harder or more difficult. Some teachers replace final examinations with projects instead, or presentations or e-portfolios or something of that nature. With regard to your question, Mo, about what should I expect coming in, I would expect to be curious and really try to pick the brain not only of the faculty member, but also of the students that are in that class. A lot of times, students learn more from other students than they do a faculty member because they can identify better with them, or they feel more comfortable asking them candid questions. And so coming in, I don't expect the student to be absolutely book smart, brilliant, or anything like that. Motivated, curious, empathetic, collaborative. Those are the things that I would expect an honors student to be. My job is to work out the intellectual stuff and get them to put the tools in their toolbox, so when they complete honor statistics or when they complete leadership class, that they have those marketable skills or transferable skills to mm-hmm. when they go get a job, or when they go interview at a college, or when they write applications, those sorts of things.
Yeah, those kind of like intangibles that you get from
precisely
from the
course. And we integrate those in all of our honors courses. Mm-hmm. And the brilliant thing about the honors program is that we have fantastic faculty from all walks of life and all experiences that can relay those experiences to each of those students. Mm-hmm. And so if you take B and then you take, you know, an English course and then you take an art history course, you're going to get 3 honors faculty perspectives in 3 different projects, 3 different walks of life, if you would. Mm-hmm. But also the students that comprise that class, you get all mm-hmm. that knowledge that goes into those courses. So I just think it's an excellent opportunity for students if they can take advantage of it from that perspective.
Another thing that goes along with the projects Chris was talking about, you can expect that the interest you have in, let's say, a scholarly project, mm-hmm. be it in the hard sciences, be it in the humanities, arts, social science, what have you, right, that you will get the opportunity to pursue what you're interested in. Because mm-hmm. many of the honors classes allow students to pick a project, right? Now, the topic kind of still fits within the scope of the class, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But the selection of that project within the scope of the class, that is pretty much up to the student and your interest. So you can pursue those interests, right? And then as Chris said, right, those are the skills that you can learn, get from the honors program, transferable skills, we often say, right, that you then can apply not just within the context of that honors classes class, but also within the context of any class, as a matter of fact, be it as an undergrad, be it as a graduate. And those are also great skills later on as you pursue your professional career, right? So the toolbox you get because of your interests, your curiosity and all that, right, will really help you to be successful here, beyond, and then as far as your professional career goes. It all goes together. They're all lined up if you do it right.
Now, I really like how you described it, because I've never heard somebody describe like a course like that. I like what you said, too, how to add. That's how, it's great how y'all put it together, but the way that you were describing it, to me, it sounded almost like an art. Like, when you go into it, like, of course, you have, like, that expectation and that curiosity, but, like, I guess I'll just name, like, a random art, like painting, right?
Yeah.
Like, honors math can be like painting. Like, of course, like, I might know how to paint already. Obviously, I showed I'm good enough to learn this way that you're teaching me, but I have to learn different strategies inside of that art and kind of, like, want to master it almost. And it feels like at the end, on the projects that y'all are talking about, is, like, my expression of what I've learned so far, you know? At least that's how you described it to me. I thought that was really cool.
I think that's a really good summary of what a typical class is, is that there's extremely talented young minds in our classes. And our job as faculty member is to elevate those skills that they already have and refine those, just like any course, and to make sure that those students are ready for the real world by putting those skills and ingraining those skills into to where they can utilize them in the real world, not just the academic world. Because a lot of times, you know, when we take a class, we have to regurgitate facts. We have to make sure that we can, you know, write a script or, you know, we know our networking, et cetera, especially for your major.
Yeah.
But realistically, when we go get a job, we need to make sure that we can interview well, that we can play well with a team, and that we can also make sure that we have good time management skills as well. And those are the things that we try to instill in our honor students, as well as our general students, I think, too.
After completing like the honors level track, what comes next for the student? Are there, do you all set them up for career opportunities, or do they have access to those resources? Just
Sure. So when a student usually completes their associates, a lot of times our honors students will go to a four-year college. And a lot of times those students will go to a four-year college, an honors college as well. And so we have a number of articulations with colleges that if they complete our honors program, not only will they accept all of our courses, and they'll automatically accept that student into their honors college. They'll also give them a little bit of money, sometimes more than a little bit, depending upon where you transfer to. So, for instance, one of our largest transferring institutions, Towson University, they have a fantastic honors college. But not only do they accept all the credits, they work with our students fantastically. We have a great relationship with them. And they'll also award our students $1,500 for up to 2 years each year, just for staying in the honors program and completing what they're supposed to be doing. Our most recent was with Salisbury, and they have an excellent honors college as well. They give their students preferential housing in their dormitories, access to their student lounge for honors, $1,000 per year. They also accept all the honors credits as well. And that's a big thing. You never want to just take courses and not have them count for something when you transfer.
Most definitely.
And so we have a number of other articulations as well. We have one with UMBC for honors to honors. We have a Goucher articulation. So, and we're trying to grow those as we grow our honors program as well.
Any particular institutions that y'all are looking at to expand the honors program to?
We've been in contact with both Salisbury as well as Notre Dame. Okay. Really? And they both have great honors programs. In fact, several years ago, Notre Dame hosted the Maryland Collegiate Honors Council Conference, and they have a very vibrant as well as diverse honors program at their institution. So we really like to try to give our students as many opportunities as possible to get into those institutions where they'd like to go because they are of that mindset of honors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at this point, we have about 8 transfer agreements with other colleges that do have honors programs, and that is always something Chris is working on to expand further. But the point Chris was making, we do have agreements with all the major transfer institutions, i.e. the ones most of our students go to from AGC. And again, scholarships often come automatically along with it
with
because you have been in the honors program here, right? Don't have to do anything.
Really. A lot of times that funding is on top of any other scholarships you might get in addition from the university as well. So for instance, you know, they might give you $5,000 because of your merits, but then the Honors College might give you an extra $1,500 or something of that nature. So it's a good deal for those students that are really academically inclined to go towards one of those sorts of honor colleges.
Do y'all see that most people stick out throughout the Honors Program when they first started? Yeah, I would expect to be so.
Great retention.
Mm-hmm. We do, yeah. And a lot of that is just because of the nature of the student. They're so motivated that they already have a plan after Harford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes a student comes in and then they come to Harford because it's the next logical step after high school. They're not sure what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times our honor students will come in and they say, I want to be a research biologist and I want to go to University of Maryland, Baltimore County after this. What courses will transfer for me? What's the sequence of courses that I need to take? And what other opportunities might I have? So that's sort of the mindset of a lot of our honors students, as well as a lot of our general students, too. I just see it more frequently, I think, in the honors courses because that's the direction the trajectory they've had since they've been in high school or even earlier.
Most definitely. Like, they was probably working towards it when they was in high school already. Right. And so now that they're here, they're planning forward.
They have plans. They generally have plans.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Any ambitions? Yeah.
Absolutely. No, and often when we ask, you know, Chris and I, we visit the honors classes at the beginning of each semester, right? And sometimes he simply asks, you know, what are your plans, you know, after you're done here? And, you know, sometimes we ask straight out, you know, are you thinking about graduate program? Are you thinking about a PhD? And I can tell hands always go up. They always do, meaning they do have plans. You raised another really good question in between as far as how we basically onboard our honors students to learn about, you know, how the honors program works, benefits and things that come along with it. So over the past few years, we have instituted virtual orientations. What do we call them? Public forums?
We call them virtual orientations.
Virtual orientations. Yeah,
that's
virtual orientations. And that allows new honors students, but also current ones, if they like, to join us. So Chris Offick obviously is there, usually the president of the Honor Students Council is there as well. And we kind of have a really formal way of looking at the honors program because we have a PowerPoint slide there too, you know, that provides a context, you know, the expectations. We want to be clear upfront about this as well. And then also what they can expect in a given honors course as well, right? And then we talk about the transfer agreements and things like that, right? So that onboarding piece has also become very critical to make sure students understand the program and also kind of know how to proceed you know, successfully, in a sense.
For sure. How are students involved and how do they guide the honors program?
Well, that's an excellent question. We do have a composite body of students called the Honors Student Council. It's a voluntary council, but these are students that serve as ambassadors as well as leaders for the honors program. They really step up and they recognize that the students really are the key stakeholders in the honors program. Without the student voice, we really shouldn't have an honors program. We need to know what students need and what students want from our honors program. And they serve as those liaisons between the other students of the honors program. So, for instance, if there's high demand for a specific course that we don't offer as an honors course, what will happen is the Honors Student Council will hear what the general students have to say in the honors program, and then they'll take it back to Tony, myself, as well as our Faculty Honors Advisory Board. If there's sufficient demand for that course, and we can make sure that it satisfies a number of majors for students as well. Because we certainly don't want to just pigeonhole one type of student to take this course. then what we'll do is we'll try to offer that as an honors course. Also, what types of events do students want outside of the classroom? So for instance, we do field trips, and we usually try to go to some location of some historical significance. So we've gone to New York City several times.
That's cool.
We've gone to Philadelphia. We've gone to Washington, D.C. Before. We've even gone to the Walters Art Gallery in Baltimore. That was several years ago. But the point is that we try to give students that experiential opportunity outside the classroom, because just as much, if not more, learning can occur outside of a classroom with those sorts of experiences that, you know, maybe you just don't have a day dedicated to go down to the Walters Art Gallery or the Ben Franklin Museum up in Philadelphia. But if you have a bunch of your friends going up there, it makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've gone to other places. We've gone to the 9/11 Memorial. We've seen Broadway shows, those sorts of things. And the good news is that the Honors Program will cover the cost for transportation and admission within reason. You know, we can't necessarily go to the most expensive or extravagant places, and we can't take everybody, unfortunately. But it does give students that opportunity to participate in things that they might not have the opportunity to participate in.
Mm-hmm. And it's something to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just fun, too. You know, one of the things that we frequently miss in education is that sometimes learning should be fun. And learning is just interacting with your peers and getting their ideas. And where are you going to college? What are you doing in the future? What made you interested in artificial intelligence? What made you interested in philosophy? Those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And they have different passions and experiences that they can share with the other students.
It's just about bridging the gap.
Absolutely, as you noted before. So well put, Mel.
Yeah. Thank you. So where can somebody go to find out more information about the Honors Program?
They can go to harford.edu. And then they can go in the search bar and they can just type in Honors Program. And we have our own webpage and they can apply there. Or they can email me if they want more information about coursework or anything of that nature, what we do outside the classroom, how to get involved.
Okay, great.
Thanks for being with us. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. Visit the HCC website at go.harford.edu/honors or email Professor Jones directly at cjones@harford.edu. Special thanks go to Mohammed Bangora for conducting the interview and to our editor, Zach Cloyd. There's an extended version of this interview on our podcast, HCC 360. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vaya Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.